Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that? Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Was it hard for you to see Tom sit there and say, why am I doing this? Why am I getting this treatment just a few days after? And seemingly just a little bit conflicted. And then additionally, you talked about how important it is for people to be able to see the players. That kind of is a split from what Bill has espoused over the time that he's owned the team. And we want to have one.
Bill has owned the team?
I apologize.
No, I didn't know if you knew something I didn't know.
No.
My bankers are
telling him well, but I'm sure it's not that well.
This is sort of interesting how that sort of comes up in the middle of all this, which again, I think was notable today that Robert Kraft did not deny the existence of these things. He qualified them, you know, at one point saying the tension was worse with Parcells, and he'll say that it's a classy problem to have, and this comes up when you have talented people and you've been together 18 years, but he does not deny the existence of these issues. Robert did say that they had their meeting, but I get the sense that nothing's been really hammered out. Nothing's been hammered out, and I need to hear from Brady before I think that it does. I need to hear from I need to see Brady's contract restructured, and I need to hear Brady and Chopra and his people get off of this thing about asking why you do this and balancing family, and I got to hear sort of a change of tune from Brady's side before I believe that they've come together and really addressed their issues, because I don't think they have. They may have spoken, but I don't know if they've resolved what has to be resolved. That's my sense. That's the lead takeaway. My second one is that Bill's just complete lack of accountability on Malcolm Butler. Does that bother you? Should that bother you? Those are our lead Patriots items.
That Kraft comment, it's almost like he wants to say, no, he doesn't own the team. He acts like he owns the team, but he doesn't actually own it. I do. He has to answer to me. That's it. And so, look, with Brady, to me, the contract is like, I think I've said this to you already. To me, that's one of the most underplayed stories in Boston right now. The fact that Tom Brady, who has always redone his deal when his cap hit gets to be an excessive number, has not redone his deal and his cap hit is $22 million, should tell you plenty about how Brady looks at this right now. Like, because at the end, it doesn't matter if he signed for however X many more years. It's all phony money anyway. The fact that he's not doing it suggests that he's no longer accommodating the team.
Okay, we'll play some more Kraft sound coming up. We've got Bruins stuff on the table. We've got Celtics stuff on the table. Whatever you want. Here in the final hour, it is a reentry Monday. Everything being on the board. Here is Greg in Ashburnham on Brad Marchand. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, excuse me. Gentlemen, I want to just bring up about the Marchand situation. I mean, how many times has other players legal hits on Marchand and no penalties or no fines? I mean, Marchand's paid his dues. What point
he has?
Say enough is enough.
He has? You think the players on the ice think he's paid his dues? Or do you think the players look at him and go, you haven't gotten yours? You've gotten suspended, but you haven't gotten yours.
Gotten yours. So, okay, so it's an open. Bonnie Fife says, open season on Marchand. How long do you go into this?
See, I'm not sure it's open season. I'm just... It's
the game is without Marchand, which to me would be missed.
Yeah, here's what I think. If you play a certain way, you've got to expect the treatment coming back at you. Period, story over. If you play a certain way, then players are going to treat you the way you treat them. And to expect anything different from Brad Marchand is, I don't know what you're expecting. I don't know what the guys who are crying on Nesson are expecting. Brad plays that way. He intends to injure other players. Now you're the shock and the outrage that some players are taking runs at him? Come on.
Okay, so take the shock and outrage part out of it just for a second. Do you agree that it feels like he's being targeted a little bit more by the refs than the opposition?
Yes, sure.
Okay. So, and listen, I do too. I think it's real. I don't think it's imagined.
He's not going to get the benefit of the doubt from the refs because of all the flopping and embellishing. Refs don't take kindly to that, nor should they. And I'm glad they don't. And he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt from the opponents who've teammates he's tried to hurt and has hurt. So what? Why does Brad Marchand deserve this protection?
He doesn't.
He's, you know, so well, my advice to him is head on a swivel. Watch it, because guys are after you, and you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt from the refs, both of which should be expected, and is hardly a national outrage. Hardly.
No, so I think the problem is, when I say problem, I think the existence of these things is real, though. I don't think people are imagining it. Like, for example, you know, I don't think Jack Edwards is seeing something that's not there. It feels to me of late, guys are going after Marchand
okay,
a little more.
But now they're crying like it's a Bruins thing, too, because McAvoy got lined up by Hornquist, no call. Krejci got lined up by Braden Schenn the other day, no call. Like, I think you've got better cases on those than you do on Marchand, because, again, Marchand, you're going to have to accept that you're going to get what you're going to give. Krejci and McAvoy, I'm glad those weren't penalized.
Well, don't forget the David Backes match penalty against Florida a couple of weeks ago, too. So there's been some bad calls against this team, one against Marchand, in which, you know, he's in overtime against Columbus last week, and there's no call.
And never mind the three-game suspension on
right,
Backes.
Right, they didn't like that one either, yeah.
So, all right, so Bruins fans have their backup about that. I think this is more in part of Bruins fans realize this is a team that can go deep, possibly win the Cup, and they don't want any more injuries, because there's been too many of them to too many important players. Marchand doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt because of his history. But because of this going on, I think there's a palatable nervousness on behalf of the fan base because they can't afford to lose another guy.
It also tells me that the Bruins are bitching behind the scenes. And that because they're talking to the broadcasters saying, how about this? How about that? We're not getting any calls now. And then inevitably it filters through onto the airwaves because that's where it comes from. They wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't being said either in the locker room or on the coaching staff or both. So the Bruins feel it. But again, in the case of Marchand, it's just hard to have any compassion for him. And that guy's been popped how many times? He's like the Kenny Britt of the NHL, for crying out loud. You know, he's been arrested that many times.
I'm curious. I don't know where how I'd look it up, but is there anyone in the league who's been suspended or fined more than Marchand? Is Matt Cook's out of the league, I think. Is Rafi Torres still in the league? Like, these guys.
It's a good question.
I mean, I'm curious. He might be. I don't know. You know who probably knows? Mike and Woburn. Has anyone been fined or suspended more than Brad Marchand has?
I don't know. It's probably up there, but also, has anybody ever played Brad Marchand's type of game in a league that was as adjudicated as minutely as the NHL has been this in the last 10 years? I mean, you could argue that the league has never been policed more
right.
completely, you know, now than before. I mean, what would have happened if Dale Hunter played nowadays? I mean, that's a guy who had a 20-year career and committed some of the dirtiest acts in hockey.
But you understand what I'm saying. So Dale Hunter, so someone takes a run at Dale Hunter, and their local broadcasters go, can you believe what they're doing to Dale Hunter?
Okay.
Like, that's what I find absurd.
Here's the difference. Here's what separates Brad Marchand from Dale Hunter. Dale Hunter wasn't a star. Brad Marchand, there might not be another player in league history that can combine Brad Marchand's level of skill with his... we'll say law-breaking tendencies, okay?
Yep. They,
like, maybe Chris Pronger. Maybe. Chris Pronger. Maybe
Chris Chelios.
Scott Stevens.
Yeah.
Maybe Scott Stevens. Maybe Chris Chelios. There's another good one. But those are all defensemen who are routinely in that dirty air. Brad Marchand is, like, the super rat. He's the rat from The Princess Bride. It's like rats of unusual size. He's, like, there's been no guy like him in the league. So you would think that, you know what? He's going to get caught. He's going to have like things go against him because he's that kind of player. But he's also going to get some calls because he's arguably an MVP. So where does it all sort of even out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a unique case. So maybe they're just not used to it. I don't know. He's deserved some calls that he hasn't gotten. Fine. I'm not going to start a GoFundMe page for Brad Marchand after all he's done to everybody else in the league that he's played against.
So I can tell you that a story written on Yahoo at the end of January says that since the Department of Player Safety was formed before 2011-12, Marchand has been fined or suspended 8 different times more than any player in the NHL during that stretch, while the only players in the league to be punished more than 4 times. The only others are Zach Ronaldo, 7.
Thug.
And Rafi Torres, 5.
Thug.
So Marchand, number 1 in the league.
So this is my whole thing. It's like, he's by that measure, the dirtiest player in the league, by 2 times.
And this is after the 5-game suspension. So that was the 8th time.
And a couple guys, and he's getting run on. Like, you're shocked? You're surprised? You think that's some sort of outrage? That Brad Marchand is getting run on? That's just a little too homerific for me. I'm sorry. That is just too homerific.
The best part of that story is that Zach Ronaldo's one of the others in the Bruins traded for him.
which led me to ask, because again, I think the Nesson broadcasts are getting more homerific by the day, which led me to ask the question before, are the Bruins broadcasters catching up to the Celtics broadcasters in homer behavior? Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I mean, we work here at NBC Sports Boston, and I think the Celtics and their broadcasters between Heinsohn and Gorman has his moments, you know. He wouldn't trade Tyler Zeller. And Sean Grandy's been known, so I just wrap them all together. I think the Bruins broadcasters are catching up to the Celtics broadcasters.
Catching up, but they still got a long way to go, my friend.
So we asked on Twitter, Jimmy asked on Twitter, who's the most homerific broadcast crew in Boston, and what are the results so far there,
Jim? So far we have 2,232 respondents. Celtics TV is at 65%.
Woo!
Bruins television is at 22%. Celtics radio is at 10%, and Bruins radio is at 3%.
See, I would agree. Like, I pulled up the sound of Beers and Surratt on the Marchand hit the other night, and they really didn't say anything. So I think our radio guys, from what I hear, I watch more of the TV than I listen to the radio, just because where I am. So I think, like, our radio guys are okay on the scale. You know, we're not even including in Zoe. I don't know if you put Zoe in there, that'd be a different thing. But I think that's right. I think but you know what? The Bruins people are getting closer than 65.
I think Boston in six.
that was Celtics Cavs 3 years ago.
Did you say Grandy was third at 10%?
Yes.
Oh, he's getting off easy.
Green, it'd be a Grandy. Bad day for me if Avery Bradley was traded.
Seriously, Gorman.
Sean, I wouldn't give up Jay Crowder.
No, the Celtics broadcasters have set the gold standard.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up Marcus Smart.
But I think the Bruins guys are catching up quickly. Ray and Salem on that.
Challenge is. Hey, yeah, Mike, and I'm just curious. These guys get paid, these announcers get paid by the team, and I don't understand why that you guys just continually go after them. They're going to, of course, support the team in their market.
Well, that's true.
That's who's paying them.
That's true. I recognize that.
I didn't want to trade Tyler Zeller.
I hope I'm not piling on. But to me, it crosses the line when you come to player safety and you don't call it as you see it. You know, and I don't think it's getting called as it's been seen with Brad Marchand. And I think when Marchand takes a hit, there's not a clear enough accounting of what he's done to other people and how what goes around comes around. It's simple.
Oh, he's such a homer. He's such a homer.
It's as simple as that. You know, it's the dirtiest player in the league again.
Oh, yeah.
If you go by the suspensions. And when he gets hit, it's like, again, like a national outrage. And to me, that... So there's being a homer, and then there's doing that.
And who has more fun than us?
Eight times he's been suspended or fined.
And he's still not even 30. Like, how old is the guy? Is he 30 yet?
Leading all players in the league.
Okay.
Overwrite that!
Put that one on your plaque.
Okay, Robert Kraft today on the Malcolm Butler benching. Robert Kraft today on the Tom Brady meeting. Robert Kraft today on Tom Brady's future. All of that coming up right after this.
Get over it!
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupable.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Have you had that collective meeting with Coach Belichick and Tom that you talked about?
Yes. We've had the meeting. And we, you know, just to be clear, I don't know, things sort of, it's like we have meetings all the time. We're not a big bureaucratic organization. We're a private company. We don't have boards. We don't answer to... We answer to the fans the best we can. And we met, and I meet individually with each of them. But the thing that I don't know if it's completely understood, that Bill and Tom communicate and meet a lot and spend a lot of time communicating. And I think the residual of this loss... You know, was really hard on everyone. But I sort of see that as a high-class problem because I sat in the stands when we never were in the playoffs at home for 20-odd years.
Until I see that contract restructured, and until I hear from Brady's camp that he's all in, playing to 40, all the crap we heard, you know, previously, until I hear that stuff again, I'm not going to fully believe that they've all come to Jesus, that they've all really resolved. You know, you can talk without resolving anything. And, you know, where's Guerrero this year? And is Brady okay with it? And is Gronkowski okay with it? And is Bill going to lighten up on those players? Should he lighten up on those players? And all those things. Like, I don't know. They may have spoken, but did they resolve anything? I don't know. More Kraft, again, from today on Malcolm Butler. Again, fans deserve an answer. Does he deserve an answer? Is he expecting an answer when it comes to Malcolm Butler? Here's what he said.
He should have played.
Go ahead.
You don't want to hear what I have to say, really. Let me tell you about Malcolm. It'll never make sense. It was unequivocally the stupidest.
Sometimes my managers make bad decisions, but if they're for the right reasons, I support them 100%.
All right. I'll try and pull up the transcript for you.
Now, I have it right here if you
want.
Go ahead. With my fan hat on, you can come up with all kinds of reasons or things, but here's the deal. We in New England are privileged to have, I believe, the greatest coach in the history of coaching. We're involved in a number of businesses in our family. We're in 95 countries in the world, and we try to encourage to have good managers, and we want them to be bold. We want them to take risks. Sometimes they work out. Sometimes they don't. I have faith in Bill as a coach, and I don't think that there is anyone who has the football knowledge and expertise combined with understanding personnel. No one can merge those two worlds like him. He's done pretty well for us over the last 18 years.
So again, he's got his back, but you think there's a little something in there?
I do, because there was another part of that comment where he says, you know, as long as my people make their decisions for the right reasons, I'm behind it 100%. And I sort of think that leaves an open. He didn't say that Bill made it for the right reasons. He did go on to say that, you know, I think that Bill always does what he thinks in best interest of the football team, which honestly, I think he's almost forced to say after he said the first thing, which again is that, you know, as long as Bill's doing it for the right reasons. I think if you were to catch Robert Kraft in a moment of candor and say, does Bill ever let, you know, a personal issue get in the way? He would say, like, as is the case with everyone, yes. Yes, there are times when he does. And so I'd be willing to bet that Kraft looks at the Butler decision and say, Bill, you goofed.
Yeah, I think it's pretty telling that he starts it by saying, with my fan hat on, because there is a part of him that I think it's pretty obvious that he feels like, what the hell are you doing, you idiot? Put him in. He's one of your better quarterbacks. But he's been here nearly two decades. Look at all the success we've had. More often than not, he makes the right decision. So what the hell am I supposed to do?
Okay, I'm sorry?
No, I think totally. I think that he looks at the Butler thing and says, Bill, you didn't make it for the right reasons. He's just not going to say that publicly.
Okay, so our computer crashed there on the Kraft sound, but we've been playing it all day. And hear it on the podcast as well at 985thesportshub.com or the 985thesportshub app, which you can download on your smartphone. We put up every hour segment, so if you miss a show or anything, it's up there. And you'll hear all the Kraft sound up there as well. But again, so to me, I have three takeaways. One is that Bill's being nice. Bill has decided to respond to the Super Bowl and the fallout and all of this by being nice. Did a special media session with the local guys on Sunday. And he didn't really say anything or didn't really answer anything head on, but he's just being nice. And I think that's just interesting. Interesting little human psychology that's how he responds. And smart, you know. You need some friends in the media. Everyone's debating what you did and how you did it. And by being nice to people, then sometimes they're nice to you back. That's just the way that goes. Again, you get what you give. And Bill, I think, has bought himself some equity with some of the reporters with the way he's handled himself so far this offseason, which I think he will need as we continue to debate the Butler and all this stuff. So that's one. Two, that, you know, they've had their meeting there in Foxborough, but I don't feel like anything was really resolved. And three, Bill's utter lack of accountability on the Malcolm Butler situation. Which, again, I will ask you, does that aggravate you as a fan?
Oh, it drives me bananas. Again, as a fan, I'm astonished sometimes that the fans put up with the crap that Bill Belichick feeds them. Really, in this case, I would want an answer. Bill, why didn't the guy play? Why didn't the guy play? And Belichick could answer it without throwing Butler under the bus and taking some accountability. He never does. His feet are never held to the fire on stuff like that because he gives you that umbrella bullcrap answer of I'm just trying to do what's best for the team, and all the Belichick bobos will suck it up and walk in line behind him. If I were the owner of the team, I'd be pissed at that. Now, they put up with it because he wins. Fine, at the end of the day, they'll start playing games again and everyone will be happy because they'll win. But if I'm trying to sell a product to my fan base and I've got a coach out there that won't answer critical questions with regard to the performance of the team on the field, I'd be pissed.
And again, it's just sort of nice. It's like, you know, I'm sure Mike Krzyzewski at Duke in North Carolina has the same deference, which is Bill can do whatever he wants and he doesn't really have to answer for it, which is a nice place to be. I guess he's earned it after all that he's accomplished and all that he's done. You get to that spot and you don't have to answer for your mistakes. And I think he's in that position. But I don't want to hear this thing about we don't talk about the past. And while they don't ever talk about the past, Felger, which is total bullcrap, when they win the Super Bowl, they're happy to talk about their game plans. They're happy to do NFL Network specials. They will carve time out of their offseason planning in Foxborough to sit with cameramen and interviewers and producers and put together full 30-minute and 60-minute length specials on the past, on what they did in the game, and why they made certain decisions in the game. They were happy to do it for the Falcons. They were happy to do it for the Seahawks. But now you ask Bill a question about the game, but it's a loss. We don't talk about the past, and he's allowed to get away with it? And the answer is yes. He's allowed to get away with it. Update with Murray, and we're back. Our Homer broadcast survey. We'll give you the final results.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marchand wins the puck battle against Sagan. Gets plastered by Ben. That's not a board. It's open season on Brad Marchand. That's not a board. It's open season on Brad Marchand, in case you didn't hear.
Quaid had a little something to say to Ben, too, after that.
Yep. Marchand stuck at the Dallas doorway. Meanwhile, Klingberg shot saved by Rask. Janmark jamming, and Rask covers the puck in the Boston crease with 7:04 to go.
Now, Brad Marchand's in a battle for the puck along the wall. He's trying to settle it down after he first got it by Sagan, and that looks awful like a hit that I just saw Carlo make, who went to the box for a board. It's there too, Jack.
Yep.
On a defenseless player.
It's just anywhere other in Boston, anywhere else other than Boston, would anyone ever call Brad Marchand a defenseless player? Look, here's what it is. I can't play this game where there's this phrase that you talk about with certain players where if he plays for you, you love him. If he plays for someone else, you hate him. I can't really do that. You can't do a talk show that way. Then we're just talking about the laundry. And then what do you need me for? You don't need us for that. Go Bruins! Montreal sucks! Which, you know, like I do plenty of anyway, but like, go Pats! The Jets are stupid! Like, what? Why would you... You don't need me for that. We can all do that. Who could... So, like, that whole premise of, I love him when he plays for me, I hate him when he plays for someone else, we can't do that. We can't afford to do that. That's not a show. That's just being a fan, which I don't begrudge, but that's a fan. So that's all a long way of saying, if Brad Marchand played for any other team, you would hate him. You would not want him to get the benefit of the doubt when it came to calls. You would want other players taking runs at him to give him exactly what he's been given everybody else over the years. You would want what goes around to come around on Brad Marchand. And you'd want the refs to turn a blind eye and not give him the calls because he's also a flopper and an embellisher. So if I'm going to feel that way about Brad Marchand on another team, I got to feel the same way on this team. Otherwise, it's just a laundry exercise, and then what's the point of this? So that's why I am on Brad Marchand. If he played for any other team, I'd say that guy, you know, the league's got to get that kind of guy out of the league. And I don't feel that way on Marchand. You know, like, get him out of the league. I'm just telling you, the outrage that you hear on Nesson when he gets hit is ridiculous. It's crazy. For a guy who has been fined or suspended 8 times, which is twice as much as any other player in the league, other than 2 guys who are goons, and Zach Rinaldo, who is even in the league, and Rafi Torres, I didn't even know was still in the league. So he's got 8. Marchand has 8. Everyone else has 4 or less. And then there's Torres and Rinaldo, who have like 6 and 7, respectively.
Rinaldo has 7, Torres has 5.
Okay? And so Marchand's gotten it more than any other player in the league. And I'm going to start a GoFundMe page for a guy when he gets run from behind? It's just, you got to call him as you see him, folks. And to me, it doesn't happen as much on Nesson. I mean, again, Barry Peterson is ready to pick at the league office in New York, it feels like, or in Toronto.
To me, the disturbing part is it's starting to happen too often against Marchand. I understand the reputation, but come on. You've got to make the call. He leaves his feet. You're standing 10 feet away from him. Marchand, look at it. He just turns. He sees the referee. He knows he's right there. You're leaving your feet, and he is in a vulnerable position. It has to be looked at by the league.
Has it been? Did they even have a phone call with Jamie Benn?
Not that I've seen.
Okay, so again, it's like every time a Bruins get hit, and I feel like this extends beyond Marchand. Like every time a Bruin gets hit, it's like, we got to petition the league. We got to do something about this. Like I feel like it building, like the homerism with the Bruins calls is getting a little much for me.
Yeah, Marchand doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Especially when it comes to Marchand. Especially.
You know, when it comes to that stuff, he doesn't have a leg to stand on. And so, to me, he's just got to, you want to start getting calls, start playing cleaner game. All the way around. No flopping. The refs will start to actually believe you. And no cheap shots. And the opponents might stop taking cracks at you when they get a chance.
Now, that's just that particular part of the story. The other part of the story with Marchand, boy, is he nasty.
Oh, he's unbelievable. He really is.
I mean, nasty good. Like, just absolutely, you know, come into his own as an elite, elite player in that league.
I mean, to me, it's like, you know, first of all, the pass was Krug that made that pass, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great pass.
Tremendous.
I mean, just banked it off the boards. He absolutely led him. Now, look, he got all kinds of open ice, but this is why I love the 3-on-3. I think it's the greatest thing in sports, those overtime games. But Marchand, to me, it's the shooting. Like, you know, he's always been a gritty, you know, puck battler and all that. The shooting's off the charts. You know, down on the power play when he's down by the goal line there and he has a door being ajar to get the puck in the net and he gets it in there. And then this one on his wing side, picking the far corner, not an easy shot.
You just got to hope he keeps his head on the swivel and that no one takes him out. But you can't be surprised or outraged that people are trying to take him out after all the players he's taken out in the league. Just be fair. That's all I'm saying. Marcus Johansson, who took the flying elbow from Marchand in that Jersey game, when was that? Like 6 weeks ago? He returned to practice today for the first time.
It was end of January, yeah. He's been out 2 months.
So the last time Marchand went in on someone and got suspended, he knocked the player out for 2 months with just a completely ridiculous elbow as he's going towards the net. Johansson said something today about it as well?
Yeah, and even though he was on the ice, he still hasn't been medically cleared, but here's what he said. It was stupid. There's nothing else to say about it. I think there was no point in doing that. There was no hockey play whatsoever there. It's sad to see that there are still guys out there trying to hurt other guys. It's sad. It's stupid. I hope it doesn't come to him ending someone else's career before it's enough. It's not why we play the game. I think there are always situations where you try to hit someone, you try to make a hockey play, and things go wrong. Then there are plays like this, where I think it's got nothing to do with hockey. It's sad to see. I guess I'm unfortunate to be on the receiving end of that.
Okay, so you're all lined up to talk about this. Let's try and be quick, all right? Do a mini lightning round on this topic. Johnny and Waylon, go ahead.
Hey!
Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, here I am. First of all, did you watch the game last night?
I did.
Okay, did that goalie flop?
Does that goalie flop? Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Okay, why was the call...
Why are we whining about the refs so much now, Bruins fans? You want to become green teamers? This is what's starting to crawl up my butt. Like, don't be green teamers. Don't be Montreal Canadiens fans. Okay, I think that was it Riley Nash who bumped the goalie? He bumped him. And this was on the Nick Holden goal, the turnaround shot that they scored. I think that was Riley Nash who bumped him. I can't remember exactly who it was. The goalie sold it, but he ran into him. That wasn't an awful call. Good God, you're going to cry about that now, too? What's gotten into you? Michael and Methuen, go.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to bring up, I heard you talking about the seeding earlier, and I wanted to give you a stat. One team I do want to avoid is Florida, and I know how sometimes these teams get in late in the season, and, you know, they're fighting to get in, and sometimes it's tougher, which is why I welcome Toronto. But I went back to November the 15th, and I want to give you a stat.
Quickly.
The Bruins ranked 26th out of 31 teams back on November 15th. There were only five teams worse than them. Canadians, Oilers...
I know, Sabres, some people Bruins. Wrote them off at that time. Keep going, quickly.
And the Panthers were one of the five. So they've been on a hot streak, and I think they're going to be dangerous once they hit the playoffs. The Bruins play them three more times, by the way, not twice.
Oh, they play Florida three more times. I think it's going to be almost impossible for the Bruins to finish first and the Panthers to finish eighth because they both have to win to finish in that respective spot. And so I don't think... I mean, I haven't done the math. I'm sure there's a way for it to happen. But basically, if you beat the Panthers in these regular season games, they're not going to finish eighth. And if they beat you in these regular season games, you're not going to finish first. So I don't think you can face Florida.
Well, the Panthers don't scare me. I couldn't give a rat's ass about the Panthers. I don't want Toronto.
Does anyone scare you in the first round? And Toronto does.
Yes. I just think that in the Bruins' track record, and I know they're a different team now, I think they've lost something like 8 out of 9 to the Leafs. Something like that. You know, they did win the one game early. Now, look, some of those were earlier this year. The Bruins are a different team now than they were a year ago. Big roster turnover. Like, all of that. But Toronto's got fast forwards, and a lot of them.
If you're afraid of the Toronto Maple Leafs, then you must not think the Bruins are a lock to be a Stanley Cup team. Which you aren't. Which you don't.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Bruins. I also think you're underselling Toronto.
No, I'm not. Because I'm telling you, I think the Bruins have a shot to go to the Cup. But I don't think they're any sort of favorite. And a lot could happen. I don't think they've separated that much from a team like Toronto.
No, it's a tough matchup, but I actually do think that the team is legit and they could win a cup. So you're going to have to probably face them somewhere down the line, so get it out of the way first.
But I do like the matchup with Toronto. Look at their D-mass.
Blows.
It's really not good, and their goaltender is suspect as well. And I just think I think that's an okay matchup for you.
I do. One quick little small Big Jim worry thing, the more I hear about it, and now that Marcus Johansson spoke today, the Devils, they'd be looking for payback on Marshawn.
That's what I'm saying. Head on a swivel. Brad, go ahead. Mike and Weymouth. Okay, you guys just, you know, Mike and Methuen. Go ahead, Mike.
One thing, Bruins fans have absolutely become green teamers. Every time Tuukka Rask has a good regular season game, everybody's so quick to throw that back in your face and let you know, oh, look at Tuukka now. The question I have for everybody is, if the Bruins were to make a cup run, do you honestly think you can get a solid 20 to 21 games in a row out of Tuukka Rask playing at a high level?
Let's see. Big one for Tuukka. No excuses. Fully rested, good team. Everyone will be healthy by the playoffs. You should go deep. No excuses. None. Let's see it. It's all lined up for you. You're in the square of your prime. You're healthy. You've gotten all the rest you've needed throughout the course of the regular season. Your D is good. Your team is good. Let's see it, Tuukka. It's prove it time. And for the whole debate that we've had, the Tuukka crew and the anti-Tuukka crew, here it is. I love it. This is all gets settled on the ice. It all gets settled on the scoreboard. The argument will be settled for us.
If he goes bad at all in the postseason, and I say bad, I mean, let's say a game or two, right? Do you think Cassidy would go to the other guy?
If they go down 0-2 in a series and Tuukka sucks in those two games, yep, Cassidy would do it. God bless his heart. Absolutely, he would.
He already proved it in November that he would do it.
He's done it all year. Absolutely, he's done it
all
year. I
know, just playoffs are different, though. Right? You don't often see a team change goalies in the playoffs.
Jimmy, how does our homer poll look? Is it still the Celtics by a mile? Again, we asked on Twitter, what broadcast crew is the biggest homers?
65% are Celtics TV.
Yeah.
22% Bruins TV, Celtics Radio 10%, and 3% for Bruins Radio.
I mean, that's a runaway.
It really is.
Yeah, they deserve it.
They are. It is.
Seriously.
Tommy, I mean, it's hard to...
You know who used to do stuff like this from behind? Michael Jordan.
It's just a singular steal by Avery Bradley.
That is bogus!
I mean, there's something about the sport, too, that lends it, right? Like, you got to bitch about... You got to bitch about every call. Whereas hockey, you know, sometimes the penalties are so blatant, there's no defending anything. But go ahead, Jimmy.
Olenek at 7 feet, he comes in with more skills than the whiskey.
That's a good one.
He's got the same timing as Bill Russell.
Okay, so you know what's the best about that comment?
Steamsma.
This kid has the same timing as Bill Russell.
This kid has got the same timing as Bill Russell.
It was Greg Steamsma.
It was the steamer.
Greg Steamsma.
That's a foul!
Where is Steamsma?
I don't know. Now? Is he in the association?
They got to be kidding me, those guys. They don't know anything about basketball. They don't know anything about it at all.
I think he's backing up Zizic.
Guys like Velga who don't know anything about the game.
Or maybe Tyler Zeller. Maybe he's backing him up. He's backing up one of those guys. Steams him up.
You hit my partner in the mouth while he's shooting the ball. You got to deal with me.
So, you know, I just, in fairness, because again, I think the
he shoots 33 in the third from out there. He might be the rookie of the year.
It's referring to Jaylen Brown.
As bad as the Nesson coverage I thought was on Marchand, they've got a long way to go to reach us.
Oh, no. So, home basketball is like off the charts. It's a runaway.
Oh, he's such a homer. He's such a homer.
Okay, final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blood force drum!
We're gonna run it right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
No one.
So a lot of the show today was spent on Bill Belichick, some of the comments that he's made over the last day or so at the meetings down in Orlando. And as we all know, it's a kinder, softer Bill Belichick we're getting this time around. And in the past, Bill, when he's been down at this thing, has been a bit of a grump. He's pushed things out of the way. In fact, Jimmy, he even referenced a bake sale one year just for talking about the cameras. You know, when they were trying to get the cameras on the goal line. Bill said, well, here you go.
Yeah, we just spent, like, whatever it was, however many million dollars on a replay system. I mean, there's 1,000 cameras in every stadium so that if somebody spills a beer on somebody, we have it on record, right? Maybe we could have a bake sale. Raise some money for the cameras. We do a car wash.
The bake sale, the car wash. He's a grump. And just last year, he sits down, someone put a microphone in front of him, and he pushed everything out of the way, which you referenced and got a little too into earlier on the show and proceeded to nearly ruin some of the equipment here at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, remember last year
when the microphones, he actually
to the table and
he pushed them all out of the way, right? Yeah. Not sure he should have just done that with the equipment, but
remember that thing?
Yeah.
Remember we did that the other
year? Of course!
Okay. So, I don't know why I just felt like doing that. I think we're okay.
Yeah, you got a little too into your work today. But
you demonstrated.
I chucked everything off the table.
Yes. No, it was a reenactment.
It actually felt good.
Yeah, no,
you know why he did it, right?
So, obviously, more
probably
of
probably liberating, right?
Yes.
I might try that tomorrow.
More of a visual there, but there you go. That's the final word for today.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.